Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Welcome to Moments of Meditation. Thank you for tuning in this morning, which on the church calendar is the sixth Sunday of Easter. I'm Glenn Kleppe. I'm pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Pine City, Minnesota. Zion is located at 410 Main Street South in downtown Pine City. For information and a link to our video recorded services, please see our website at zionpinecity.org or call us at 320-629-3683. We begin our worship with our confession of sins and invocation. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the name of God the Father, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In the name of Jesus, the risen Christ, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In the name of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Alleluia. Jesus Christ was the first to conquer death, the ruler of the kings of the earth. He loves us, and by his blood he set us free from our sins. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Most merciful God, we confess to you that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We have acted as if you are not present in our lives. So often we have failed to be faithful witnesses. In your great mercy, deliver us from the death we deserve, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please take a moment to confess your own sins before God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he's given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then the one who raised Christ from death will also give life to your mortal bodies. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord who has begun this good work in us bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the Church of Jesus Christ, and for all who offer him their worship and praise this morning, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from him who is, who was, and who is to come, from our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us a kingdom and priests to serve God the Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. the uncountable multitude of nations and peoples stand before the Lamb upon his throne and cry out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels around the throne worship him, saying, "Blessing and honor, glory and thanksgiving, power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And all the creatures of the earth shout, "Amen." And all the saints and angels shout, "Amen." And the people of the Lamb shout, "Amen." Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Let us pray. O God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading for the sixth Sunday of Easter is from Acts 17, verses 16 through 31. Now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him, as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. And some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling and hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God, in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Psalm 66, verses 8 through 20. "Bless our God, O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Our second reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ as Lord and holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which now corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God of a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers, having been subjected to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning we consider our first lesson from Acts chapter 17, where Paul speaks to a number of spiritual people in the city of Athens at the Areopagus. When I watch a movie, I look for theological things. Now, before you think that's kind of weird, and maybe you do think that, I think most car guys pay attention to what cars are in a movie. People interested in fashion notice the clothes in a movie. Some of you out there probably notice if there are red tractors or green tractors. Admit it, you look. I notice if there's theology, and I usually try to decide if it's good or bad theology. Some years ago, I was watching a movie called The Road to Perdition. It was a gangster movie, and like all gangster movies, there was a lot of stealing and killing. Near the end, the head of the family, played by Paul Newman, was about to be killed by his protege, played by Tom Hanks. Oddly, they spend a little time discussing the ethics of what they both know is about to happen. The older gentleman, who's about to be killed, brushes that talk aside and says to the younger man, "This is the life we chose, the life we lead. And there's only one guarantee. None of us will see heaven." There's the theology in the movie The Road to Perdition. Is it good or bad? As Lutherans, we would have to say that whether or not we go to heaven isn't based on what we do, but rather on faith. It's biblical. A statement like that from the movie about not going to heaven because of being involved in the mob can't be evaluated as good or bad theology, perhaps, although it's not very good, but rather, is it law or gospel? The Bible consists of law and gospel, and the law has to do with our behavior. Based on the law, none of us are going to heaven, whether or not we steal and kill. The gospel assures us that we can go to heaven, no matter what our sins are. The world we live in likes the law. The law is guidance for how we live, and the world understands it. Don't misunderstand me. The people around us don't like the law and often don't follow it, but they understand it. When Jesus says, "Love your neighbor as yourself," it's really not too hard to understand that, but it's hard to do. So we generally don't follow it. People in the United States these days like to say that they are spiritual and not religious. What that means is that they like the law. They like to focus on their behavior and their feelings, but they are generally unwilling to give themselves over to God, who they don't understand. So long as they follow the rules, at least the ones they consider important, they can completely dismiss God and His Word. It seems to me that people who consider themselves spiritual are actually looking for God. They just can't find Him. Maybe they don't know where to look, or probably they don't want to find Him. They look for things that feel religious but avoid the church. They deny creation, but they feel good about taking care of the earth. They do their utmost to protect animals, but defend the right of women to abort their babies. It all seems kind of backwards, but I think it stems from them looking for God. The trouble is they want a God who agrees with them, and that may not be the true God. In our first lesson today from the book of Acts, Paul was facing a similar situation. The Bible doesn't always give us good guidance for our world today, but it seems that Paul was talking to people who are very much like the people that we know and see in our world every day. Paul was in the great city of Athens, and the people of Athens were searching for something religious. They wanted to know God. In a part of the town called the Areopagus, there were many temples to many gods, even one to an unknown God. They were doing everything they could to find God. We face people like that every day. We know people that want to know God and will make up a whole set of rules to follow in order to be on His good side, but they don't know God. I like Paul's approach that day. He didn't argue with them about who the real God was. He simply introduced them to Him. Here's what he said. God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth. Yet he's actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. In short, he explained to them that God made everything, even all people, but since he's Lord of everything, he doesn't live in a temple. You can build all the temples you want, and he won't be there. He made people to seek after him and to live in him. He's not far away, but rather right with us all the time. It was God's goal not so much to get people to obey him, but that they would get to know him. The spiritual Athenians, who sought to please God by going to temples and making sacrifices, were actually not doing what God wanted from them. God wanted them to know him. He wanted them to know that Christianity is the one true religion. The Bible indeed contains quite a bit of law, but the more important part of the Bible is the gospel. The gospel informs us that God knows that we do not follow his law, nor can we, but he sent his son Jesus to shed his blood and die for us, so that we are forgiven and have life. The gospel is the good news that for Jesus' sake our Heavenly Father doesn't hold our sins against us. The gospel tells us that we are the children of God, and we always will be, no matter what we do. The gospel isn't something that we can do or accomplish, but rather something that God has done for us. The gospel is what allows us to know God and to be his children for eternity. The law can make you spiritual, but the gospel is the one true religion. The law is simply about what we can do. The gospel is about what God has done and continues to do in the world and in us. Certainly God wants us to follow his law. It's our job to follow the law of God to the best of our abilities. But mostly God wants us to know what he has done and to know him and relate to him through our worship in word and sacrament. As Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. It's our job to introduce the world to God. At some point somebody introduced you to God. Perhaps for most of us, that was our mother. My mother loved me enough to tell me about God and talk to me regularly about what Jesus did. Probably yours did too. Your mother gave you life, but very possibly also started your eternal life. And so it's our turn. We introduce the world to God, starting with our children and our relatives and friends and co-workers and neighbors and acquaintances. At some point, you may actually be presented with the possibility to introduce a complete stranger to God. That's probably a more difficult task, but it's still what you're here to do. The world around us thinks that they know God because they know rules. Probably many of them think, because of what I've done, I'll never see heaven. They think they know what God wants. Talk to the world about the real God, the true God, the God who saves. Talk to them about the one true religion. Talk about Jesus. Amen. We confess our faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, you bless and protect your people in a world where there are many false gods. They are known gods and unknown gods, and many people worship them. Give your saints a clear and bold proclamation of Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, your Son suffered on our behalf to win salvation for us. Grant that we may have the privilege not only of believing in him, but also suffering for his sake. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of heaven and earth, you've given the Spirit of truth to dwell in us through holy baptism. Grant your Spirit's steadfast guidance, that the feet of your people everywhere may not slip into sin and unbelief, but live always in praise before the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator, you made from one man all the nations of the earth, and still you sustain us. Grant us good leaders who will seek peace and serve justice, frustrate the causes of evil, violence, and oppression. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father in heaven, you've given us a mirror of your love in the vocation of mothers who nurture, guide, and raise their children in all things good. Bless them in their calling. Sustain them through weary and difficult times. Remember in compassion all who are barren, and bring them comfort through the children of your church. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, you promised not to abandon us in our need, nor leave us as orphans. Send forth your Spirit and work through us, your people, that the lonely, the poor, the homeless, and travelers may rejoice in your presence and in the power of your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant healing according to your will, and sustain in faith those for whom we pray. We name them now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen. Once again, thank you for joining me for moments of meditation. Thank you for listening. I encourage you to come back and listen again next Sunday at 9 o'clock. I'm Glenn Kleppe, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Pine City, Minnesota. For information on our recorded services, please see our website at zionpinecity.org. We do have some openings at our Growing in Grace preschool for this fall. If you're interested, give us a call, 320 629-3683. May God bless your celebration of Mother's Day.